Please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. We're going to begin reading with the 7th verse and read down through verse 12 today. Revelation chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 7. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I just ask today that our hearts be stirred and we look at this great scene in heaven. And I just ask that you'll have us leave here more in love with you, recognizing that it has to be that we praise you and honor you and glorify your name. We spend so much time, dear Father, praising your creation, and we maybe don't do that with our words, but we do that, Father, with our actions. And today we need to realize and understand that you are the Creator. You are the one that is worthy of our praise, worthy of our service. Please, dear Lord, that we serve you and honor you and praise you, not just in word, but as in action as well. Please, Lord, just touch the hearts today of all of us as we enjoy these words, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We come to this place in Revelation as we've looked at the glory of the Lord, we've looked at the seven churches, we have found John at the entrance of heaven only to look upon this throne, and the one that was seated upon the throne, the beauty around the throne, those that were circling the throne, the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures. As we continue to build this picture and look at this wonderful scene that we have in heaven, we find that these four living creatures, their sole purpose is to praise and honor the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come, the end of the 8th verse tells us. That was their sole purpose. And our life as a believer should be equal to that we should want to praise and honor our God without stopping, without thought of this life, of this world. We find in the 5th chapter that after we have built this scene, that we find a book in the right hand of the one that's sitting upon the throne. And the question was raised, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And there was a look around and there was no one found. And John began to weep, and then we find that one of the elders said unto John, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals. And then John says, "And I behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came, and he took the book." He took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. We have God the Father, God the Son. God the Son was the one that is worthy to take the book, to loose the seals. This picture continues. Thou art worthy. We know according to Hebrews chapter 1, the first three verses, and please this afternoon go home and read those verses of Scripture. Because at the end it said, "And he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." And we know that our Lord, as he finished the work of redemption, was witnessed by hundreds, and 40 days after the resurrection, he ascended back home to be with his Father. And that's where he is today. John now has moved forwards in time, at least 2,000 years. I believe it's going to come very soon that our Lord's going to come and get us, and this event will take place. We will witness this. We will watch this. We will be present for this. And that should excite us, and that should take any burden of the day and lift it, knowing that there, no matter how bad today is, there is hope of tomorrow. There is hope of tomorrow. I heard a preacher this morning. He was talking about the atheists have raised their ugly heads, and they begin to put things on billboards and on the sides of buses, and said, "There was man, then there was God." In other words, man has created God to serve. Well, many people have, but not the true God. And so the atheists and many other false statements that the atheists of this day make, and as we continue to get further and further away from God in this land as a nation, we will become more and more ungodly, and that's going to become more and more evident that we are an ungodly nation, a nation that was set upon the Word of God, but not maintained. And I sad to say that the church, I think, has let down and has allowed the world to have its reign. Well, there's going to be one that's going to stand up, and he will rule and reign, and we will rule and reign with him, because there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ upon this earth. And the enemy will bow down. Those atheists will fall. We need to understand that there is hope. And we know that the end is going to be eternal life for everyone that has come by faith to the Lord Jesus. If you know someone that does not know the Lord as their Savior, please talk to them. And says, "Well, they don't want to talk about it." Well, I'd rather have them mad at you today and never speak to you the rest of their days and have you give them the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, in hopes that maybe they will see the need of salvation in their heart. But instead of that, we want to keep peace. Well, if you don't tell them about Jesus, I guarantee you they're going to wake up in hell and they're going to wonder why you didn't tell them. They're going to wonder why you didn't tell them the truth. Maybe they are in a church that they've been lied to all their life. Maybe they don't go to church at all. But there's going to be a day that reckoning will come, because Jesus is going to come and get his church, going to take us up, put us where John is right now, and we're going to begin to witness everything that we're talking about right here, because we are these 24 elders. Now, what has taken place when he took the book? When he took the book from God the Father, God the Son took the book. And we find in verse 8, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of precious perfumes, which are the prayers of the saints. these 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Now, we have one reference of the lion up here in the fifth verse when it spoke of the lion of the tribe of Judah. But if you'll notice that only once is the lion spoken of. There will be a time that his judgment will come. But the redemption that we're talking about here that is to come comes only because of the Lamb. Now, our Lord Jesus is the Lion. Our Lord Jesus is the Lamb. But the Lamb is where redemption has come for our souls. And redemption for all the earth will come only through the Lamb. And if you'll notice here, it is spoken of, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts, these four living creatures, and the 24 elders, they fell down, and they had instruments, and they had this wonderful incense, and they begin to make this beautiful music unto their Lord. And that was something because they found the one that was able to take the book and open the seals. So don't miss this as we continue through this study. Remember who is worthy, who is able to take the book and open the seals. 28 times the name Lamb is referenced to the Lord Jesus in this book, only once concerning the lion. Everyone had these musical instruments. Everyone had this incense. It's said that it's a little shallow cup full of incense that they had as they bowed down before him, as they played these instruments in rejoicing. If you'll remember in the tabernacle, as we studied the tabernacle, remember we talked about the incense altar, and we would reference it as a prayer altar. We would say incense altar, prayer altar, incense altar, prayer altar. Well, let's look right here, because what is going to happen here in this eighth verse? Every one of them had harps and golden vials full of this perfume, these wonderful odors, which are the prayers of the saints. How that completes that picture that we looked at in the tabernacle. This incense that floats into the Holy of Holies is the prayers of the saints. Now, as we look at these prayers that are lifted up, the true prayers are a sweet incense, a sweet perfume unto our God. Prayers. Some people will tell you that God knows every thought, so you don't need to pray to him. Well, that's not scriptural. Yes, God knows every thought, but you need to pray to him. He wants to hear you praise him. He wants to hear you come to him asking for help and for direction and for strength. He is the only one that can give us wisdom and knowledge of what to do and how to deal with every day. He's the only one. We look in so many different places. The world offers so many options for us to know what to do in the world. Well, God created this world. He created this world, and he knows how this world operates. He has created man. He has spoken life into man, and he knows how we work, how we function, how we suffer. He knows every part of our life. He knows every need. There's not one problem that you have that Jesus isn't the answer. Not one. Jesus is the answer. Go to him, visit with him, fellowship with him, praise him, honor him, and he will give you wisdom. He will give you strength. The person that's out of control is the person that's away from the Word of God. The person that's trying to do it on their own way, their own prideful way. It's arrogant to think that you can function without the Word of God, without God's presence in your life. And yet, millions and millions of people live today without Jesus. but they're in darkness. They're in total darkness. Only believers have the opportunity of the light. And yet we as believers find ourselves many times literally shutting the light off. It seems as though that we would prefer to float through the meander through the darkness than to have the light. And the way that we shut the light off is to walk away from the Word of God, walk away from the study of God's Word, walk away from the fellowship. We don't have time. We don't have time daily to open His precious Word to search it. We don't have time to serve Him and praise Him and honor Him. All of our life is set upon me, what I want. No. It should be upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and how can I help you? How can you help others with the love of Christ? First, of course, is salvation. And then there's other needs, millions of needs that are out there. But we're so self-centered upon what we need each day that we're not looking beyond to see a need of someone else. We're blinded with our own selfishness and pridefulness. As we look and we find that these prayers are kept, they are kept. Having every one of them harps and golden vials full of these odors, this perfume, which are the prayers of the saints. God's bottled our prayers, and it's going to be used for the worship of the Lamb down through eternity. So you see, not only is it a help for us, but it's also to praise and honor our God. As we truthfully come unto our God upon our knees, asking Him for physical strength, for physical healing, asking for spiritual strength, spiritual direction, asking for wisdom of the day. How am I going to do what I need to do? How am I going to accomplish that? I have so much to do, so little time. So much to do, so little help. Nobody else is doing anything. That's what we feel like. Why isn't somebody else taking care of things? Why isn't somebody else serving? Why isn't somebody else helping me at the house or helping me at work? Or how's it come at work that I'm the only one that's doing the work and they're getting the same pay? That's their worry, not yours. You've agreed for a price to work. So, be a servant of God. Work. You see, we need to ask our Lord because that's not natural. If He's not going to work, I'm not going to work. If she's not going to clean the house or He's not going to help clean the house, I'm not going to do it. There's all kinds of reasons, excuses. Don't make it yours. Turn to your God, ask Him for help, ask Him for strength, ask Him for wisdom, ask Him for direction, and you can get right past that to where you'll continue to work, continue to serve, continue to honor your God by your actions and by your speech. But it won't come if you try to do it on your own. All you're going to do is get angry. It's got to be through the love of God that's in you. And the only way that love grows, God gave you the Holy Spirit. He's within your heart, living, wanting to show you and to teach you and to strengthen you. And we keep turning back to the world and depending upon the world and doing things that the world wants us to do. And by our actions then, we are weakening ourselves and taking our strength away. And we're lacking wisdom and knowledge of what to do. Our prayers are being bottled up. Our true prayers. Now, the next time, and hopefully very soon, that you go to fellowship, into fellowship with your God. Now, remember where the prayer altar is in the tabernacle? Of course, you got to go by the brazen altar. It's first. That's the cross. Got to come by faith to Jesus before anything is going to be done. Well, next comes the brazen laver. Now, there's the problem. There's the problem. Because most people don't like to go to the brazen laver and get scrubbed, get washed, get made clean. We kind of like our old habits. We like to do what we like to do. And when God says, okay, this one here, I've been around believers for many, many years now. And you know, the only surprising factor is that when you get victory over one that you fought and struggled with, you get victory over that sin. I'm sorry, there's another. And another, and another. But God will not give you more than just what you need. He'll give you the strength to take care of this today. He knows how weak we are. And then he'll give us strength to take care of what he deals with us on tomorrow. But deal with today what he's dealing with you about so that you can get past that brazen laver and get on in to the feeding. Because if you spend all your time washing and never eating, you're going to get weak. And you're going to finally step away from that laver because you need nourishment. Well, let's get past the labor. Let's get on into the holy place where you have the beautiful light of the Lord Jesus and you have the table of showbread and you begin to feed upon the word and you begin to have that nourishment and strength. You begin to learn and you begin to grow and you begin to see God's strength and you begin to see who God is. And in the process, then you begin to talk to him because here's this incense altar and you begin to fellowship with him and praise him and honor him and put him in his proper place. And now your prayers are beginning to go upward. And as God hears them, he listens, he answers them, and then he bottles them. I'm going to hold these because these are sweet, sweet requests from a sweet brother or sister of mine. And then they're going to be poured out. They're going to be poured out that day when all are around and they say, "Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals." And it is going to be such an exciting day because, you see, we're going to get on into this opening these seals. And you're going to see what's in there. And when you begin to see what's in there, you'll understand why it's so important that only one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is the only one able and capable to open them. You're going to see that. And so you're going to see that. So please, please, let's move forwards. Let's come to the cross of Calvary. Let's come to that laver, which is the Word of God, and get ourselves clean. And again, you're not going to have to get every sin because God doesn't do that. He deals with one thing about what he doesn't like and what we need to change. And it's all for your good. It's all for my good. So let's do it. Let's do it. And then let's get on in and begin this feeding. And let's get some nourishment because we need it. We need it. We're all, our cheeks are sunken in. And we're going to get to the place one of these days, if we don't get there, that if we do eat, we can't. We're just, you know, we're gonna just vomit it up because our system won't take it. So please hurry. Because there's a time when God, if we quench the Spirit so long, when we do that so long and we keep saying, "No God, no God, no God," there's a day. We don't lose our salvation. But there's a day he'll set us aside. And we don't want that. We want to get on into the feeding, on into the growth. What a glorious day, and we have a glorious song that is brought before these all present, and that's verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." And then it goes on to say that every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, this new song, "Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and praise." I love that chorus. I've sung it for years. "Thou art worthy." I don't want to hurt your ears, so I'm not going to sing it. But it's a beautiful, beautiful chorus. What a glorious song. And it was speaking, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals." I'm going to ask you a question. Why is Jesus worthy? And it gives us, lists here many things. The first is, "For thou hast was slain." And the second is, "This redemption was purchased. For this, thou hast been, thou was slain. Thou hast redeemed us to God." The third is, "This redemption was purchased at a tremendous price, the price of his own blood." Next, the redemption he purchased with his own blood is for everyone. You know, there's some churches that they have made choices that only one group of people are worthy of God's salvation. Well, if they do that, they sure are not looking at the book that I see. It tells us right here that everyone everywhere is equal in the sight of God, and everyone has the opportunity of the precious saving power of Jesus Christ. And if that opportunity is there, how could we ever put anyone below us or above us? It shouldn't be. Who does he list here? Every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. This precious song, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by the blood, and out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nations, he has done this. He has purchased with his blood salvation, redemption for everyone, including the earth. That's why he's worthy. That's why he's worthy. He has paid the ultimate price at the cross of Calvary. This song is termed a new song. Its theme would be redemption. And when this redemption is accomplished, it will create all things new. All things. Got up this morning. What hurt? Would the list be shorter if we would list what didn't hurt when we got up this morning? And the older we get, the longer that list becomes. We try to do something yesterday we haven't done for a while. We find new muscles and joints today that we kind of forgot we had. Oh, isn't it going to be a wonderful day when everything is made new? You know, oh, our heart has been made new. We're born again. Wonderful. We praise our God. But that's not the end of it. The next step is going to be that you and I, we're going to get our new bodies. Oh. Our glorified bodies. Perfect. Perfect voice. Everything's going to work. Everything. We're not going to line up at the pharmacy. We're not going to have to worry about health care. We're not going to worry about any of that. Because we're going to be perfect. This world is sure worried about a lot of things that we really don't need to be worried about. Because the day that we meet Jesus, all of our worries, all of our cares, all of our tears are going to be wiped away. Everyone. All of our pain, everything. What a day. What a song. What a glorious, glorious song. And he is worthy because he has redeemed us by his precious blood. This theme of redemption, again, when it's accomplished, it will create all things. It'll be all things made new. In the end, all things will be new. All evil, all old things, as a result of sin, will be put away, totally destroyed. There is no comparison with the old song of Israel and the new song of redemption. This redemption includes Jews and Gentiles. It includes the bond and the free. It includes the rich and the poor. All sing of Him and to Him this wonderful song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open its seals. Thou art worthy. We need to be excited that we know the God that has made and created this universe as we know it. Today, I know down in the Sunday school classes, Abby took a ball and suspended it. See, I get a pre-class. But when she let go of it, what happened to it? When God put the earth out there, it stayed. When Abby put it out, it fell. You do it again and again and again, it just keeps falling. How come? Man can't do what God does. We took a few minutes in our Sunday school class to look at some of the information. You know, not only is it suspended in nothing, but it also spins 1,000 miles an hour. 1,000 miles an hour. It moves around the sun, if I remember the numbers right, 67,000 miles an hour as we circle the sun. So we're not only spinning, but we're circling. And then we're moving through the galaxy at an unbelievable amount of speed. The whole galaxy is moving through space. I asked Brenton, I said, when are we going to come to the end? He said, we're not. How can you not come to the end? There's got to be an end, doesn't there? Not when God makes it, there isn't. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals. We look at Him as our Creator. We look at Him as our Savior. And now we begin to look at Him as He brings judgment upon this earth. But it's through redemption. In all this, His place of being the Lion moves over for the Lamb. It's the Lamb of God that's taken away the sins of the world. Right now, this Lamb that is slain seems to shut out everything else, and everything is looking to the Lamb. All heaven is looking to the Lamb. Every creature that's in heaven is looking at the Lamb. If it had not been for the Lamb, the Lion would not be able to open the book. Because why is He worthy? For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood. That's why. That's why. To open the seals. You want to see what the Lion's going to do? Well, I just looked to Revelation chapter 19. But it's never in the absence of the Lamb. This redemption will take place. Our redemption was not gained by a force, by an authority. But it's been gained because He was slain. He has given His life for us. This met with God's demands concerning redemption, but without the cross there'd be none. a man has written. This met with God's demands concerning redemption. Without the cross, there could have been no redemption for sinners or for the earth, for any. There could be no redemption. The cross of Jesus is the grandest counsel of all eternity. The cross of Jesus is the grandest fact of all times. The cross of Jesus is the grandest, most glorious display of love heaven or earth ever gazed upon. Without the cross, there could be no redemption concerning the wife, the slave, and the land that we spoke of last week. Redemption. We'll begin with not only the one that is worthy, but what happens to us in verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. What a glorious day that will be. And we'll begin there next week. What a glorious, glorious day. Let's close with prayer. Father, I just ask that you'll stir our hearts. We love looking at your universe. We love looking most of all at your Son, the Lord Jesus, as he has saved us. We love looking into the future, knowing that a hope is sure, it's certain what's going to come. And we know that we're going to receive our glorified bodies. We know that if we've come by faith, you, our sins are forgiven. They're as far as the east is from the west. We know that. We know, Father, that your word is true and sure. Let's speak it. Let's show that we have been made alive. We don't act much different than the world. The world has no hope. Everything they have is built upon what they can possess and own and do here and now. It has nothing to do. What we can do here and now for the Lord will be stored up, and eternity we will enjoy it. We have something to be happy about. We have something to praise our God about. Father, please that we do that. That we have a smile on our face and joy in our heart and excitement. Please, dear Lord, help us to get a vision of what is awaiting us. Get a vision of what you have done for us. Maybe we need a vision of hell, so it would awaken us and realize what great work you've done for us. Dear Father, please, just speak to hearts today. Save the lost and grow the saved. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.